I've been telling you this NBA deal, even the WNBA rights deal, they're astronomical numbers. And more, it's a migration to streaming for sports leagues. And so I thought of my friend Matthew Keys, who has thedesk.net, and he's always covering these media deals, media and tech insider. And he's an award-winning journalist as well, and also a late-night owl from Sacramento joining us now. Matthew, we'll start with the NBA because the numbers raise eyebrows, and it appears that there's a bit of a fight that's brewing as well over these deals if TNT and Warner Brothers have their way. So what's your reaction to where we are at this point?
Sure. So this has been in the works for several months now. What happened was the NBA went to different media stakeholders and said, hey, who's got the most money and who really wants these live sports? And you had three suitors come forward: Comcast, which owns NBC and Peacock, Amazon, which has Prime Video, and Disney, which operates ABC and ESPN and has some streaming endeavors as well. They were the ones that wound up getting the deal, which is valued at $76 billion over 11 years, just a little under $7 billion a season. By comparison, the NFL deal over 10 years, $100 billion. So we're finally starting to see basketball and football achieve some financial parity. But the issue with TNT Sports is that under the existing contract, the existing broadcast contract, Warner Brothers Discovery, which is the owner of TNT Sports, had a clause in their contract that said they could match and beat an offer made by another company to keep basketball on TNT. And what Warner Brothers has said is they did. They went and tried to match Prime Video's offer, but the NBA rejected it. So it's looking like this is probably going to wind up in court if you kind of read the tea leaves of where things are going. But for all intents and purposes, this is a done deal. Peacock, NBC, and Prime Video will be getting live basketball starting with the 2025-26 season.
Amazon already in the NFL space and the WNBA space, which we'll talk about, now will be in the NBA space if this deal moves forward as currently constituted. What does that mean for Amazon Prime, which to this point has been all about the shopping, maybe some music, some of its own original content, but live sports is something completely different?
It's very complementary to their products. You're right. Prime memberships are one of the bigger parts of their business, and everything is geared toward not only driving more memberships, but keeping people locked in. And if you can get Prime Video with now live sports as part of your Prime membership, you're more than likely going to continue paying that $15 a month, even if you're not taking advantage of the other Amazon services. And look, I don't buy things from Amazon every day or every week or even every month, but I keep the subscription because I like the video content. Interestingly, you can watch some live sports that are on Prime Video through another Amazon product called Twitch, and Twitch streams Thursday Night Football for free. Presumably, they will do something similar with NBA rights when they get them. Amazon's biggest moneymaker, though, is not Prime and it's not the video. It's their cloud computing product. They own Amazon Web Services, which powers a lot of the internet and a lot of the websites and services that your listeners probably use every day. That is a big part of their business. So they're really a tech company, and they're very well positioned to not only offer live sports in the U.S., but part of the NBA deal and the WNBA deal also includes international distribution of live games. So Prime Video is available in other countries. I think they may be available in about 200 countries. And part of the deal with Amazon and the NBA is that they can distribute live games in other countries, and they will start in Europe with the 2025 season. Circling back on the TNT issue, that was one of the reasons why the NBA rejected TNT's bid, is because Warner Brothers simply doesn't have the type of international distribution or reach that Amazon does, and that made the Amazon deal more attractive. And you've had the NBA saying in some of the trade publications that, look, when we said that TNT could come in and match the offer, it's not like we said it was a dollar for dollar match. The fact of the matter is that Amazon just sweetened the deal far and beyond what TNT could come in and do. And that's why Prime Video will start streaming basketball in a little over a year's time.
We've heard the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, talk about younger generation viewers, especially fans don't watch the games on TV. Have you seen that same trend where more and more people are consuming their sports from either websites like YouTube, streaming services, or getting them live as opposed to watching them on TV?
I think so. I think part of the issue is access, right? So I'm in the Sacramento market. The TV rights to that are owned by NBC for one of their regional cable channels. And not everybody has cable. In fact, more and more people are cutting the cord and moving away from cable. So access has become a real issue. So when he says that fewer and fewer people are watching on TV, it's probably more of an access issue than it is an interest issue. And what that means is that the league now has to reach potential and current fans on the platforms where they are. And they see streaming as being one of the biggest ways to do it. However, the NBA is not in a position where they can offer fans direct access to their local teams. TV rights deals are very, very complicated. On top of this national deal, you've got a lot of regional deals that are team dependent. And the fact of the matter is that the NBA is not a tech company, so they don't really have the ability to build out a platform right now. And offer games directly to consumers. So it's more lucrative for them to ink these regional sports and national TV deals than it is to just launch their own streaming service. Now, you've got other sports franchises that are kind of dipping their toes in those water. The NFL will let you watch local games through NFL Plus on your phone or your tablet. That hasn't quite made its way to the TV yet. So I think that will change at some point. The friction and the fragmentation of where sports is on television will get a little bit easier. It's not going to happen anytime soon, though. It probably won't happen for, at least another 5 years. And if these TV deals hold, it probably won't happen for much of the next decade.
We're excited to have Matthew Keys back on the show. He is an award-winning journalist who covers the business of both media and technology. And more sports fans are in that same space. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. How will it get easier? I heard that, but I'm wondering how would that happen down the road?
The platforms have to mature enough to the point where a company that is primarily in the business of sports, of delivering live sports events, to now launch their own service. And it's a really complicated technical endeavor that a media or entertainment company is better positioned to deliver. So that's why you had the NFL 3 years ago go and make these deals with TV broadcasters. And they're slowly starting to make deals with streaming services too. There will be two Christmas Day NFL games on Netflix. And I think that's a real sign of things to come. The sports franchises are kind of having their cake and eating it too. But I do think over time, the platforms will evolve to the point where the leagues do offer a direct-to-consumer service where sports fans in their city can watch their live games on any platform they want. They don't need cable. They don't need satellite. They'll have one app, and they'll be able to watch all the games that they want. I don't think that's coming anytime soon, but I do think that's where this is headed. And the leagues really want that to happen, too, because they get 100% of whatever that subscription money is directly to them. They don't have to spread that around to other stakeholders, and they don't have to be dependent on broadcasters to bring that money in either. So that's where things are going. It just won't happen within the next few years, and depending on the sport, it may not happen for, like I said, the next decade.
Netflix is throwing its hat in the ring now, and the NFL is always more than willing to try something new. They're generally on the forefront as a league. But how do you like a marriage between live sports and Netflix?
As a sports fan, I'm not too crazy about the fact that all of these games are going to different services, and I'm sure I'm in good company in that respect. But from a business side, it really does make a lot of sense. Netflix has an ad-supported product now. You can buy Netflix with ads for $8 a month, and that's an attractive price point for a lot of frugal streamers that feel like there are more and more options that they have to subscribe to these days. And they frankly need appointment viewing television to be able to go out and sell their ad inventory, and they don't really have enough inventory to sell. So it was not a hard decision, I'm sure, for the people at Netflix to write the NFL a check for those Christmas Day games. And of course, the NFL, they're more than happy to take anybody's money. So certainly they want reach, but the vast majority of games are still on free TV. And I think that is an indication of how the leagues and how the broadcasters view the issue of reach, which is that they're not at a point right now where you can have pay-per-view sports every week. This is still very much an experiment. Is that where things are going? I don't really know. It's going to depend on how well consumers respond to it. Look, the big test last year was Amazon's Black Friday game, right? The first time that the NFL had ever done a Black Friday game, Amazon spent quite a bit of money to secure the rights to that. And it turns out, I think there were maybe around or just less than 10 million people that watched that game. So is that really successful for a game that was exclusive on streaming? Not when you compare it to, you know, the weekly ratings for a regular football game. But it's still the early days, so we'll have to see how this shakes out.
Flying under the radar, a brand new rights deal for the WNBA, hopping on what's been an explosion of popularity. And so the timing is perfect. How do you like the new deal for women's hoop that also has various outlets where it will appear?
The three media stakeholders that are participating in the NBA deal, Comcast, Amazon, and Disney, are all participating also in the WNBA deal. And that means you're going to see more WNBA games on national television, which I think is an amazing sign for where women's professional sports is going. Try $2.2 billion. So that comes out to about $200 million a year. There's also going to be fewer games comparatively to what the three broadcasters are getting from the NBA. However, the amount of national games are increasing. And when you look at the dollar figure of the number of games that they're getting, it does kind of equal out. This, by the way, will start out around the same time. It's going to start in with the 2026 season. Interestingly, the deals also include international distribution rights. So you'll have Comcast and Amazon distribute WNBA games on an international level. Amazon, with both the NBA and the WNBA deal, have the rights to distribute NBA and WNBA league pass on a global level. So both franchises are really betting on the NBA and the WNBA not just reaching more of a American audience, but going global. And so when you kind of pull back and you take the dollar amount out of consideration, this is really about reaching fans over the long term, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And I think that's going to be tremendous for both franchises. Now, it would be nice to see that dollar figure go up just a little bit more. I had the same kind of shock that you did when I saw that it was just $2.2 billion, but it is a good start, and you do have to start somewhere. And the WNBA has said these are non-exclusive deals. They are still going to make other partnerships with other media partners. So at the end of the day, the dollar amount could actually go up a little bit more than that.
The recent WNBA All-Star game shattered records for any of the previous All-Star broadcasts. We know about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and what they're bringing to the table. It was actually the most watched WNBA event going back to the very first week that the league launched. What is your reaction to seeing these numbers continue to go up, 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 up based on the star power of one or two individuals?
I don't think we've seen anything yet. I think they're going to continue to increase the momentum behind women's professional sports, not just in basketball, but in other franchises. Part of that is the fact that there is more access to these games. We certainly can't discount the superstar power that athletes like Caitlin Clark bring to professional sports. But I think the fact that the games are easier to access is also drawing more interest. So the national TV deals that we're seeing, and also some of the deals that are bringing these games to free broadcast television. So for instance, the WNBA games are available on the ION network, which is available on free TV in most parts of the country. And you can even stream it on free television platforms. I think that's going to cause viewership to increase. That's going to cause fandom to increase. That's going to be great for the athletes. I don't think we've seen anything yet. I think those numbers are going to continue to go up and up and up and up.
Matthew Keys is with us from the Bay Area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So NBC has multiple stations out there they can use, cable as well as over-the-air network, but also every single event on streaming. Is there a way to tell which fans prefer?
Yes. They definitely collect data on how many people are watching their streams, how long they're watching their streams, whether they start in the beginning, whether they go to the end. The amount of data that you're able to pull from streaming television is very, very comprehensive. It's actually why you're seeing more and more television, not just sports, but TV in general, shift over to streaming, because the amount of data that they can get on who's viewing, what they're viewing, how long they're viewing, and even to some degree why they're viewing it is really, really valuable to these television broadcasters. It helps them inform them what they should be serving more of in terms of television, live sports, entertainment content and movies, how they should be selling their advertisements. And it serves as a proof of performance for how well their advertisements are doing against the live content and the on-demand content that they're providing through these streaming services. So yes, absolutely. It's very valuable data. And again, it's one of the reasons why they're willing to commit so much money toward live sports and why they're willing to throw so many live events on streaming platforms like Peacock, which is where all of the Olympic events will be streamed, not just from Team USA, but you'll be able to watch all of the events from all of the countries on Peacock. And you better believe they're going to take that data and figure out what they should put on their broadcasting cable channels in 4 years' time when the Olympics are here.
What type of reaction do you get from sports fans who maybe find your website, thedesk.net, or find you on social when it comes to this migration to streaming?
They are very, very tired of having to switch apps. And when you think about how we watched sports on television historically, it started with there being three channels, and that was fine. And then there was cable, and that was fine too, because if a game was on Fox, you turn to channel 5, and if the next week it's on NBC, you turn to channel 4, or the equivalent of whatever the channel is in your area. But now they not only have to juggle cable, satellite, or a cable streaming equivalent, broadcast TV, streaming television, flipping between different apps, it's getting very, very confusing, and they're getting very, very frustrated. And I do think that we're kind of experiencing the adolescence period of streaming TV and sports TV on streaming, where there's going to be some growing pains. There are also going to be some mistakes. Media companies are going to make some mistakes. But I do think that there will be a shakeout period where things get a little bit clearer and things get a little bit easier. And some of the streaming apps and sports apps are actually starting to make it a little bit easier for sports fans to find the games that they want to watch. ESPN is in the process of redoing their app, where they will offer a schedule of all of the games from a franchise that you want to see. You want to find out where the baseball game is going to be, on what station or on what streaming service. You'll be able to go to the ESPN app, type in your favorite team, and it will instantly tell you what streaming service it's on, and it will also connect you to that streaming service. So you don't have to switch out of the app. Mm. It'll just automatically do it for you. And Major League Baseball is doing something very similar. So the technology is making things a little bit frustrating, but the sports leagues and the entertainment companies are really trying to modify the technology and use it to where it can make things a little less confusing. Again, still early days. There's still going to be a lot of frustration. I'm hearing it from my readers. I do think there'll be a shakeout period where things will get a little bit clearer in that sense, if that makes sense.
Sure. Great stuff from Matthew Keys on Twix at Matthew Keys Live. And then on the website, thedesk.net, he's got lots of links available. It's great to catch up with you again. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Good speaking with you. Have a good rest of your morning.